Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Kids, do you like professional wrestling? Well, we like professional wrestling too. We also like Mr. Wrestling too. That's also great. This is Shake Them Ropes. I'm Jeff Hawkins, along with Chris Novembrino. We got our banter out of the way before the show, so I'm going directly into wrestling. We're going to have a War Games preview this week, Lazy River of Wrestling commentary, and all the news. But because it's Friday night and Jeff was way too much on Twitter watching the shows, Tony Nese was on Rampage, and I got into an argument with some people because it's like, well, what's wrong with having great wrestlers doing great matches, even though they're never going to win and they're never going to move up the card? And I'm just like, well, number one, I like Tony Nese a lot. I do. Tony Nese had some of my favorite matches. The pre-show match before that Mania in New York, where he won the title in front of his hometown that nobody watched, unfortunately, because it was the pre-show. Fantastic match. But having good wrestlers when you have 40 other good wrestlers, there are 40 Tony Neses to me on the AEW roster, Chris. And to me, my problem with Tony isn't that he's being employed. It's that, okay, so what you're telling me is all these people who want, oh, he's a good wrestler who can have a good match, is what they're telling me is they just want him to do the same thing he was doing in the other company and not being different. And I just look. Let me get my rant out of the way and I'll let you talk. You can be a great wrestler. You can be smooth as hell. You can do all the right moves. But if you never take it to the second level, if you never put emotion in your moves, if you don't play the music between the notes, if you can't cut a good promo, which he hasn't yet, he might be able to. That's kind of what I want to see here. Then, you know, you just got another Frankie Kazarian for the most part as a babyface. Frankie Kazarian's very interesting as heel. He's not that interesting to me as a babyface. You having good guys who do great matches, that's just dancing. It doesn't go anywhere. And let me give you an example. I'm not saying this guy is a prototype or any kind, but when I was growing up, Manny Fernandez is not a great wrestler by any means. And he wasn't a great promo either, but he tried and he put some emotion in it. And in the ring, he had a personality with trying to do the kung fu stuff. At the same time, he was trying to do athletic moves for being a fat guy. He at least was interesting to watch in the ring. Once you've watched Tony Nese matches, it's kind of going to be the same every time. And I feel the same way about a guy that I really used to like as well, Dean Malenko. When Dean Malenko was in ECW, and he wasn't on TV week after week after week after week, you thought he was a world champion because he was the strong, silent type, and he put some oomph on those things. And once he came to Nitro on WCW, and you saw him week after week after week after week, he hit a ceiling at some point because the strong, silent type didn't matter. It just looked like he was disinterested, as opposed to putting in, being tortured. And look, I don't mind guys having a ceiling either. It's one of those things where I was a little confused by the blowback I got because I like Tony Nese. What's the difference between this and his 205 live run, though, to me, Chris? What am I missing here? A lot?
No. I was about to make a glib joke, and that's just not where I want to start. Thing, because like, look, my thoughts on Tony Nese, especially from the 205 live days, for those of you who've listened to this show, are well known. And I used to make a lot of like punchy jokes at Nese's expense. Suffice it to say, look, you've already spoken to a lot of my criticisms of Nese. he's not a good promo. He can do moves in the ring, but they don't string together to tell a story. Now, there might be some who say, well, he wrestles a more modern style. And I go, yeah, sure, but it's like a modern style that does like an Escalera to set up a figure four leg lock. And I just think that it's sort of this like it's very visually stimulating, but to your point, I think it hits a ceiling relatively quickly, especially in the absence of better in-ring storytelling. And when we're bringing up all of these critiques of Tony Nese, for the Nese defenders who are like, I don't have a problem with a guy who can't do a promo and doesn't tell good stories in the ring.
Yeah.
I want to speak to that person right now, real quickly. What we're trying to say is that if Tony Nese could do a good promo, which you, the Nese defender who says, I don't care if he can't, is conceding that, yes, it would be... You're conceding that he can't do a good promo. Ipso facto, it would be nice if Tony Nese could do a good promo. If Tony Nese could get himself over on the mic, and if he could do those things, then he would be in a better position in the company. Not just in this company, but Vince McMahon would have saw it more in him as well. I thought that, frankly, commentary bringing up that he's a 16-year veteran didn't do Tony Nese any favors here tonight. I heard 16 years and I was like, dang, 2014 really was a long time ago. And then I like looked at myself in the mirror. I was like, So as time moves. But I think that Nese is nice, but is he better than Pac? The answer's got to be no. The answer's got to be no.
My problem isn't even AEW using him. My thing was, I didn't understand why we're putting him under contract if he's just going to be a guy to put over the guys, you know, that, oh, he can have good matches with blank, 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 and blank. You have a pretty big roster of those guys by this time. You have Jay Lethal, who is pretty much doing the same thing. You have... other guy, you know, you have Jack Evans, who isn't being used all that much. You have
Brian Danielson, who seems to be on this destination unknown, like you're here to make other people look good.
The
sort
Hardy
of
track. Family office. I mean, Kenny Omega's entire first year was to make other guys look good. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's great that we have great wrestlers up and down the card, but great wrestling isn't bringing people in, isn't growing the audience to me.
Well, yeah, and I just don't know why you, given the depth
of AEW's...
And
it's not even great wrestling. It's well-worked, technically sound matches with no emotion to them. And that's my problem. That's my issue. Like, if Nese were working a match and he hit that second gear of emotion in there, I'd be a little bit more forgiving. And this isn't... I mean, use him, but it'd be like one of those things in the territory where
that second year of emotion would be contingent on him having not match of the week, monster of the week style matches with like the mid-card champion or whatever, but rather instead telling long-term stories where like he really seriously imperils Sammy Guevara. And part of the problem with Tony Nese as an asset, which again goes back to our sustaining critique of the guy, is that he's not a good storyteller. And so as such, yes, he can have the nice match, but he can't have the nice program.
Yeah,
and that's been true with Tony Nese. It's always been true.
Yes.
The one time that could have not been true was with Drew Gulak.
And they
abandoned ship on that, and that's a damn shame. That's a damn shame, because they did all the work there. Tony was doing good work in it. I want to give Nese and Gulak credit on that. They were doing a great job there, and they just had the rug pulled out from under them.
Yes.
But outside of that, Nese has never done that in his career.
Right. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like you work the indies all that time. You get used to, okay, high spot, high spot, high spot in front of 200, 300 people. That's great. Once you get to TV, you have to do more than that. And he was just, and he never hit anything above the, I'm going to do a match kind of like the indies. It's going to be well worked. It's going to be very smooth. Nobody's ever going to get hurt. I'm going to do a lot of athletic stuff. But for TV
and power stuff, like he could go fly, he could go power. I mean, like in the ring, he's got a lot of stuff he can do. No one's arguing that.
Yes. And then once you see it a few times, then you go, okay, what's next for Tony? What kind of style is he going to work? What story is he going to tell in the ring? Exactly. And it's that kind of thing. And look, I'm not just doing this to implicate Tony Nese. AEW has about 20 to 30 of these guys under contract right now that they don't have enough TV time for to get out there. That can just go out there and fill what I like to call do time filling things. I don't want a roster of Dolph Ziggler's necessarily.
No, he's a great guy to bring up because y'all would be bored too if your wrestling show was nothing but like Dolph Ziggler levels of acting and performance and execution of these stories.
Yes.
You would have a hard, or we would get back to the old days of making fun of the utter campiness of wrestling because none of these guys can freaking act.
Right.
What you want are Eddie Kingston. What yes. you want is CM Punk.
Like, yes.
like and rightly so, I might add. And so I'm with you. Like I'm not trying to slag on Nese, but there is certainly there's a tier of people working right now in AEW too, who I think are missing certain assets from the kind of like the broader package that keep you from being able to be a great vehicle for telling stories. So all you can do is fill in dark and elevation with nice bloodless matches.
Yes, and they can get the young guys over, and Jungle Boy can wrestle Nese on the main event of a dark or something like that. And you know, we have the same complaint about Ricochet in some ways, or I did all this time, and everybody's like, oh, he can't miss prospect. I go, he can't talk.
If he went to AEW, he'd be stuck on this same plane along with Tony Nese.
He'd be a little higher. He'd be in
but real quickly, we'd hit the same issues with him.
Right.
Can't tell a story with him. Can't put him on commentary because he's not going to be able to get himself over on commentary. Can't stand him in the ring and have him do a big promo with someone.
He can do stunts, and that's about it. And we'll wait for the pay-per-view to bring out the big ones. Yeah.
But you couldn't put him in a program with MJF because MJF would eat him alive.
Yes, exactly. And would make him look small. Yeah, that's an issue. Okay, well, that was one lazy river topic that I just decided to do at the top of the show because we got our Beatles chat out of the way before the show.
I know, you know, it's fine. We really should have just done the Beatles stuff on air because I'm guessing there's a lot of people who would rather hear me talk about music opinions and see if I'm wrong about those like I am on wrestling.
Yeah, well here's the main thing you can take from Get Back. If Billy Preston had joined the Beatles, they never break up. That's what I've got out of it. A little bit of news. The Young Bucks option picked up by AEW. They had signed 3-year contracts, and Tony Khan had an option to pick up 2 more. Looks like all the original vice presidents' deals are coming up, including Brandy and Cody, Jericho, and Omega. And I don't think any of those will not be picked up. Kind of interest, and this is just an aside, at the AEW dark tapings, one person who had a squash was Brandy Rhodes. Which, as I said, if you want to blow this entire Brandy Cody as babyface things out of the water, put Brandy in a program with DMD and tell me that everybody's not. We get our rants from Chris about how Brett Bull. Britt Baker is not, I almost call her Brett Butler.
She's
Britt
a Baker. Regional babyface.
Babyface, yeah.
Regional babyface. Super regional.
Yeah. Any thoughts on the Bucks re-upping, which is no surprise.
A real nail biter. You know, their standings seem to be in peril in recent weeks here. So, you know, a lot of ins, a lot of outs. I was following this one pretty closely.
Beth Phoenix's last week with NXT is this week. She'll do War Games and she will bow out. I think that's a little interesting given a couple of things. Number one, Scotty Tuhati leaving recently. And also one Brian Alvarez over our friend over at Wrestling Observer doing a little grumbling that NXT 2.0 just isn't fun for some people anymore. I wonder if Beth Phoenix is one of those people as well who just feels, I got to say what they tell me to do. And this is basically Technicolor main roster now. Look, I've slagged on Beth quite a few times for being the Brick Hanlon of commentary, where she's just yelling random things or lines in there. I thought she was having a little bit of fun in this 2.0 era, you know, giving to Wade as well as she took, and also kind of being a little a little tongue-in-cheek about breaking the fourth wall here and there. I thought she was actually improving on commentary in this last part, but maybe it's that Batista, I don't give a damn anymore run for her in some ways.
I thought she improved over time. Look, yeah, when she got on, she was real rough. Yeah. As she got settled in, we started to get more of a sense of Beth Phoenix's personality, and I remain utterly convinced that, like, Phoenix in a less micromanaged scenario would actually be quite a hoot on commentary, because she does, I mean, she likes the business, she gets how to tell stories, she likes to go along with the show, and she's willing to be fun and funny, and like also does get in a way that sometimes other babyface commentators have a hard time with, does get how to give agita to the heel commentator, yes, in a way that's consistent with baby faceness.
Yeah, and you know what, as much as I hated her buying in to the indie Dexter Lumis wedding storyline and doing that, so you know what, I eventually grew to like that. I liked
what made it fun is because you could tell that the Beth character was doing it to get on Wade's nerves. Yes. Yeah,
what about love, Wade? Yeah, I'll be interested. I don't know if they fill in that third chair. I think they may just go with Vic and Wade.
And that would be fine. I'm going to, at the end of Beth Phoenix's run, give a mild in defense of Beth Phoenix. I actually think she's funnier than she gets credit for.
Yes. I'll give you that as well. She will still be under contract in whatever capacity with WWE. She's not planning on leaving. Want to make that clear as well. She just wants to go spend more time with the family, quote unquote. So whether that's a euphemism or not, who knows? But let's see if she lets loose on this War Games. That's what I'm kind of looking forward to. Staying within the realm of WWE, they also unveiled their program for recruiting college athletes, name, image, and likeness, because the NCAA now has opened those doors. Yes, or NIL, nil. Also short for next in line, if you want to go the corporate route there. But yes, they are now looking to recruit players for that kind of thing. That the joke everybody's making, of course, was that's how much those kids will be making too compared to professional sports. You need to test that name, nil. But interesting that they are at least giving the corporate image of being forward thinking in terms of recruiting on campus with NCAA athletes.
And look, you're going after collegiate athletes, and in this case, you're not necessarily going after top tier ones, you're going after second tier ones.
Or wrestlers, yeah. I mean, wrestlers, which isn't a money sport in college.
Right. These guys might not be the most worldly individuals, maybe didn't get the sharpest educations along the way, and this veneer is going to be enough to work one over on some young kid.
Well, I was going to go the other way and go, hey,
what company are we talking about, Jeff?
It's nice that athletes are being paid, and especially ones that aren't necessarily, you know, like if Vince goes with prior things, they're going to be recruiting amateur wrestlers, and amateur wrestlers aren't getting the under the table perks of a lot of the football players. So, hey, good for them. They can have some spending money in college, et cetera, et cetera. But no, Chris, you went the route that that college athletes are meatheads. Nice.
I can't believe that I would say that Vince McMahon is a scurrilous businessman with limited scruples who would try to take advantage of people who are not getting premium educations, who are maybe not candidates in college for their high level educational academic performance.
Another roster move, AEW, Big Swole asked not to be re-signed by the company. Mutual parting of ways, and according to her, she's been dealing with some health issues, aka Crohn's disease as well. I wonder if she goes to the indies to get a little bit more seasoning, because she wasn't being used as much on AEW as others. I think they gave her that shot in the Britt Baker program, and once that kind of fell apart in some ways, and at the same time, this is when COVID was really starting to get there, so it was right as we were losing crowds, and so you know, she was in and out and things like that. I've made my peace known on this. I thought Little Swole was the one that you sign out of that pair, Nicole Savoy. And Big Swole did what she was going to do on this roster. I hope she doesn't quit wrestling, but she is 32 right now, so it might just be time to leave. Who knows?
Yeah, so on the Crohn's disease thing, I've known several people who have had it. I don't, but like I actually played with music with a guy who back in college.
Explain to people who don't know what Crohn's disease
Man, it is a brutally debilitating stomach disease that like really prevents you from being able to eat and hold down stuff, and especially if you're a high level performance athlete, this just absolutely annihilates your metabolism when it flares up. It's fairly hard to control.
Your ability to eat protein is gone, so you can't keep up muscle weight as well. Yeah.
It's a serious thing, especially for someone in Big Swole's line of profession. So I'm going to take her at a word on that. And if she's got that, that's a thing like an ACL tear that would absolutely sideline you, because it would prevent you from being able to train and be at top level condition and be able to be someone who you could trust, would be able to catch other people and all those sorts of things. Now, in terms of Swole in the ring, which I hope that she's able to get her health stabilized to and get back to, I'm with you. Like, I felt like she needed more seasoning from what I saw at AEW. I also thought, look, the AEW women's division is what it is. It's the DMD's division. And you are either going to come in and be at a level of performance where you could credibly be someone who could take the belt off of DMD and carry the division.
Yeah.
Or you're not. And if you're not, there's just not a lot of space for you in this division.
And if you can't cut a promo, you're dead in this division right now.
Also true. And it's like a recurring theme with a number of people we've talked about tonight. But then we get into the other sort of problem for Big Swole, which is Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill, basically, although Swole's a face and Cargill's a heel, Cargill's basically doing a very similar gimmick in a lot of ways to Big Swole. And there's just only so much bandwidth.
Now, Swole is head and shoulders better than Jade Cargill. That's an issue. But yes, the two people who are doing very similar things.
Yes. Okay. In terms of in-ring work, yeah, no, it's not even close. I messaged you earlier and I comped her to... this is Cargill.
She's the ultimate warrior.
And, like, look, great look, fantastic look. Yes. Got a gimmick that I think works.
Cut a promo, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's in that warrior realm where it's like maybe not traditionally good, but it's good for her, and that's all that really matters. Mm-hmm. Then you get her in the ring, and it's a hot mess every single time, and all that she can do is these sort of like loosey-goosey squashes. Since we're sort of freewheeling tonight, while we're on the topic here, I thought that the squash tonight that Cargill did was weird for a couple of different reasons.
Okay.
Putting Thunder Rosa on commentary, Rosa's got a lot of things I like about her. Her as a promo to get herself over, that ain't one of them. I thought that on commentary she did nothing. But then we get to the student tonight. Janai Kai, I believe is her name. Yeah. Okay. Way too defined of an in-ring character to be obliterated with absolutely no resistance.
I agree. I mean, the people on the indies and women's indie wrestling Twitter are very high on Kai. And to do that to her with that kind of, where she was all gimmick right there, as opposed to just being plain Jane.
If she had been nondescript, generic bubblegum babyface boopsie doopsie, that's one thing. But she's in there as the kick monster or whatever, the kick demon, Janai Kai.
Yes.
I don't think she got a single kick in, Jeff.
No, she didn't get a move in, I don't believe.
I did. What the hell is that? And then meanwhile, Rosa on commentary is like, that's my student. Her student gets annihilated. Rosa doesn't have a coherent reaction to this, because I actually was sitting there going, like, what is like the actual right reaction for someone after this? And the answer is that shouldn't have happened. The student should have put up some serious resistance. And then Jade Cargill should have done something unscrupulous to win the match, and then continue to do unscrupulous and dastardly things, forcing Rosa to go down to the ring.
Or tremendous horror from the teacher that the student was in there way too early and way too, and what the hell have I done to this child? Oh my God, I can't believe, yes.
And you get this actually reminded me a lot of watching Adam Page on commentary on Dynamite.
Yeah, we'll get
this
to that in the Lazy River.
Yeah, save that.
I'm gonna say this: AEW's women's division right now. Look, I know Mia Yim's probably gonna get signed. I get that. I think there's a couple other women, Nicole Savoy and Nicole Matthews. Sign them both because they both got personality at the Yazoo, and this is what this needs. I don't need good young wrestlers like who's the Chicago kid that they have, Sky Blue. I think that's it. Yeah. Okay. Great. And you know we have Julia Hart. Great. Young, perky.
Julia Hart's got like
Anna
some personality.
Jay,
Conti.
We have enough of these types.
Yeah.
Give me some grizzled veterans who can talk. Give me more Serena Deebs, because Deebs is just doing her best work right now because she just looks like she has a total package compared to everybody in this division. Cutting promos, just gimmick, knows what she's doing.
Yes.
Confident. Love her.
I do too. Actually, you know, I mean, I think the percentage of this is fairly low, but like Beth Phoenix would be a wonderful person to come in here and work with your Anna Jays, Jay Contis, and all of those people.
And any horsewoman, doesn't matter who, but yeah, no, anybody with some sort of veteran thing who can cut a promo and show people how to do personality, sign them now, please. Cause this division is so,
it's just loaded with people who don't,
it's loaded with first gear people. First gear, that's what they can give you. They can give you basic moves and basic matches and occasionally a decent promo, but not a great one. They don't have a lot of ring skills in there. Yeah, I don't want, okay, that's it. I'm cutting myself off there. Let's give a shout out to our sponsor, MyBookie. When it comes to gambling, you always want to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. That's why you should bet with MyBookie.
Hey, Jeff, what games are on this week?
Oh, we have championship week this week. We have the Big Ten championship. We have the
Pac-12
championship. We have 12. All these big time. We have the Army-Navy game.
Huge
that game in my household. Yes, because my dad went to Navy. Roots for Navy every year. Gets together with some Army guys and trash talk, and they trash talk each other. Phenomenal games going on. At MyBookie, you can bet on all your favorite sports with exclusive promotions, contests, and more to find your winning bet.
Hey, what's my promo code? Do I have a promo code?
We have a promo code.
Oh, okay. All right.
And right now, when you make your first deposit with MyBookie, you'll instantly receive double your first deposit when you use our promo code, Mr. Hand. Ropes, R-O-P-E-S. And MyBookie will double your first deposit instantly up to $1,000. How's that for fast money? Yes.
I love it.
Iowa. Put some money on that. Use your extra funds to bet on this week's biggest games, including that which I just said. Promotion is only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. Head to mybookie.ag. Use our promo code ROPES, R-O-P-E-S. Secure your double deposit bonus today. That's ROPES. Double your funds to double your winnings and bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Speaking of which, let's go and see if they have odds on the War Games, shall we?
I can't wait.
I kind of want to see this. I kind of want to see if they have bets, because you can bet pro wrestling here. I just don't know if they're going to do 2.0, because that's like betting on minor league baseball. let's see the sports book. Where are we here? Tennis, blah, blah, blah. U.S. What's the U.S. politics one? International politics in the midterms. Royal family, Prince Charles to become king by 2025. And the next general election in the UK, conservatives minus 240, liberal Democrats plus 10,000, labor plus 180. Yeah, I think they're giving you long odds on that one. I do not see.
They don't think the Lib Dems have a chance, do they?
They do. Special wagers, is that wrestling? No, that's current event. Okay, there is no wrestling one up there. So 2.0 is not available for betting on. What's the current events one? Those individuals and groups of people organized markets settle on Time Magazine's official Time Man of the Year prop bet 2021. It's saying doctors, nurses, first responders, healthcare workers minus 250. That's the only favorite in there, with the World Health Organization next at plus 500 and Anthony Fauci at 550. I don't know who's going to be man of the year this year, Chris.
You know, here's the thing that makes me a little leery about the man of the year one, right? Every so often time does a bad person as the man of the year, basically. Yeah. And so like there's always in that one, there's always the oddball chance that like all these people who are being presented as like laudable figures in this case, not editorial.
I don't know if they're being, they may not be laudable figures necessarily. You
never
know.
I'll put it this way. They're not putting up Anthony Fauci in the way that they put up Adolf Hitler.
No, that's true. You know, there's no place for Nazi imagery anywhere in the current events. Let's stop this, kids. Journalist plus 2000, Greta Thunberg plus 3300.
So again, there's like the one thing I see, like if it was me, if I was gonna bet, I would see what the odds were like on like Chairman Xi.
He's on here too.
Is he
Xi Jinping is plus 2000.
See, like, you know, like I would fade like the ghouls of the world, if you will.
I wonder if they're just going to give it to some foreign leader who did something this year and get away from COVID. So who knows? Anyways, because I've been stalling. This is such a weird show already tonight, kids. NXT War Games.
But it's good, yes. Jeff.
NXT War Games 2021. Gone. Takeover imagery. Best promo of the week is on social media. Again, what are these people doing? Stop this. Put good promos on there. And of all people, the former, I was almost going to call him the former LA Knight, but that's his current name.
No, the former Eli Drake, but this is the thing that Eli Drake's always had.
Yes.
This is what, like, we saw this on NWA Power, and Eli Drake actually was awesome on that show, believe it or not, LA Knight. And he's come to NXT. They never really wanted to use him for the thing that he's best at, which is the thing that you see on the social media promo thing. It's like they've never really got what Eli Drake is.
Yeah, he's a guy who can talk you into the building for the most part. Because I think they just look at him and go, oh, he's just doing the Rock and Stone Cold.
He's like the reverse of what an AEW like Tony Nese is everything that Eli Drake isn't, and vice versa.
He's a throwback to the 80s where it's like the guys who could talk would get the pushes, and then you'd watch them and they'd go, okay, they're okay wrestlers, but they're not great wrestlers, but they keep getting pushes and would get mid-card title belts because they could talk, and that was the whole reason you sold tickets.
They can carry a story, and like that's like LA Knight, and you see this in this little social media promo, tells a completely coherent story from the beginning.
It is a fantastic
promo. It's really good. It's really, really good. And wrestling needs that. It will always need that. It's not a modern versus retro thing. It needs the guy who can do the flippy-do stuff and the guy who can tell the story. And sometimes they're the same guy and sometimes they're not. And LA Knight really serves a meaningful role in this.
He says once, basically what the crux of this thing, if you haven't seen it, seek it out. You know, Johnny's apologizing for not getting the advantage. He goes, well, we don't need it, you know, because oh, they're big, bad, and scary guys. I don't know. Oh, but we're veterans. We're gonna fight you once that thing. He even dropped a brother in there. like my God, I'm watching 80s throwback all over. And then this helps hype Tommaso Ciampa up to do a decent promo too. I was just like, yeah, I mean, it was good. It was a hype promo, and that's all I want. I want to feel like this is a fight in a War Games match, because it's War
Games.
Well,
you're never gonna get that. I mean, that's the problem with NXT 2.0 is not that they've switched to developing some of these guys up, or even necessarily some of the guys they're choosing to focus in on. Like Diamond Mine's fine, Ivy Nile's cool, Creed Brothers are cool, Braun Breaker is cool, Von Magner is iffy, but like
he has to get a caveman gimmick at some point.
No, what he needs to do is he needs to decide that his favorite wrestler is Van Hammer, and and just be Van Hammer.
He needs to decide his favorite wrestler is Wayne Bloom and start to get his old man's charisma somehow.
Yeah, no, but like it's not the guys that they're choosing to focus in on that's the problem. Is that it's like these programs are boring, like
they're like greatest hits of things you've seen in WWE for the last 25 years. Here's the
Cameron Grimes is being fundamentally underrepresented Like this is a guy who's way more interesting than the way they're presenting him.
Yes.
He has a gimmick that's way more, especially with like the GameStop and everything. Like that whole gimmick is way more relevant than they even really know what to do with. They haven't had any idea what to do with the guy since the Million Dollar Man thing finished out. And he's in this silly, silly, silly poker storyline that somehow involves both Duke Hudson and his hair.
Yes.
And that go home on that was just wretched.
Yeah.
Just, just wretched.
Oh, I have these Photoshop photos. That's always the death. That's
you look like one of the Three Stooges, said like no kid born after the year 2000.
You mean that bad movie a few years ago with the Three Stooges? Yeah,
no, it's thing. A cartoon from the 1930s. Oh, it's dear. 90 years old.
Let's do this preview. No disrespect in the order because there's I don't know which order they're going to be going in, but there will be a War Games match first. I was originally going to do the women's, but let's do women's as the main event. What the hell? It's the most interesting to me. Starting off with the men's War Games match, Team Black and Gold, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight. Also on that promo, they made a DIY reference, which is always kind of cool. Versus Team 2.0, Braun Breaker, Carmelo Hayes, Grayson Waller, and Tony D'Angelo with Trick Williams. You assume he's probably going to get involved in this too. Team 2.0 has the man advantage here. Chris, I am going to defer to you on this first one. Who do you like?
You kind of almost want to think the retro guys win this, but I kind of think like Braun Breaker gets a pin on Tommaso Ciampa to set up the rematch.
Yes. I mean, this is the most, to me, this is the most obvious story that they're going to tell at some point is that Braun Breaker, this is the Raquel Gonzalez War Games from a couple years ago, or actually was it last year where she got the choke slam on Io between the rings to pin her to set her up as a number one contender. Yes, we're going to set up Braun Breaker as a number one contender again. Carmella Hayes is going to do some great stuff, probably off the top of the cage. You know, Dunn and Ciampa are going to be great. Gargano, Waller, and LA Knight are wild cards here. I think Knight's going to be fine because he's going to do mostly punch kick stuff. D'Angelo and Waller? Who knows?
Waller's going to do something dangerous is sort of like, I'm not worried that D'Angelo is going to be like, I need to do a moonsault off the top. Bada bing. But I think that Waller might.
I wish he'd go up and do a, and yell.
I wanted to stop the team and go, hey, I'm going to go to the top rope and do a moonsault.
Use guys. I'm going to the top rope.
None of use move.
None of use move. Oh, now I don't want anything else. I don't want anything else other than him doing a bad Italian stare. All right, you guys wait. So.
He does a double axe handle off the top.
He comes Chico Marx on the way. Hey, don't worry. I'm going to jump off of you.
I'm going to go to the top rope.
Ma, get the zitty ready. All right. control yourself. Next up, singles match for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, which might be on its way out in favor of another name for the title. Roderick Strong with the Diamond Mine taking on Chris's favorite gimmick ever, Joe Gacy with Harland. Interesting build for this as they almost made this a intergender title with the man, and then they couldn't, of course, they couldn't.
No, it's just a good gimmick, Jeff. This is just a good gimmick with a great story.
He's my favorite wrestler now.
He's relatable. Yeah.
Some of us, he might know. No, but yeah, this is basically to get rid of the cruiserweight stipulation, I believe, at some point. Malcolm Bivens is just a national treasure who must be protected at all costs. Oh, you done messed up now. I loved that. I expect a lot of smoke and mirrors in this, a lot of interference by Harland and the Diamond Mind. And I expect Roderick Strong to retain and perhaps some rebranding, but I would not be shocked if they put the belt on Gacy. And then that's how they end up rebranding the belt as the NXT Inclusive Championship. That's what they're going to do, aren't they?
I mean, okay, like the problem, if they do that, one, you sort of saw it in the enhancement match here. Either Gacy is now fighting way undersized guys, or he's fighting women, or he's fighting like monster dudes. And the monster dudes thing is fine. However, having an open weight championship is basically what the North American championship already is, and you've already got Carmelo Hayes doing a undersized heel champion who's a perfect candidate for the Apollo or Odyssey Joneses of the world to go and toss around. Like, that's what a Carmelo Hayes is. So I don't think Joe Gacy kind of slot. Like, when you saw him in the ring with those three guys, it sort of only further illustrates why Gacy would actually be a fairly poor choice to be this champion here. Because there aren't enough small guys, especially not in that company, for Gacy to tell meaningful stories for months as the heel champion that like holds it for one of these small guys to overcome. Gacy is not going to be working intergender programs with all of the women on the roster until Ivy Nile dethrones him and becomes the champion. Although that would actually be a very amusing story given like Gacy winning it off of Roderick Strong here.
Hold on. Do you think they ever actually break it and actually do an intergender match with someone?
I don't think so. I don't either. Yeah, I don't think so. I not until the old man dies, and it might be a while after that. I don't. And then you get to the, as we discussed, the monsters like Odyssey Jones. I mean, they had him have that match against Roderick Strong, but all that tells me is that Odyssey Jones needs to be having a match against Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah.
So I don't think all this is to say I've thought about it. maybe they choose to make Jeff Hawkins the happiest man in America and make Joe Gacy the Cruiserweight champion. Yeah, well, you'll finally have some smiles on your face for a change.
Oh, sure.
No, I will be looking for it. I'll be getting little text messages from you smiling with Joe Gacy on in the background. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah, I bought all his gear, too.
Yeah, you did. You did. Well, okay, there was a Cyber Monday sale, and you're like, Chris, I got all the Joe Gacy gear. It says inclusivity on the T-shirt. I'm like, okay, dude.
Kim Jong-un, plus 20,000 for Times Man year. Go ahead.
So there you go. There's another guy. Probably Joe Gacy likes him, too. Your favorite wrestler. He's not my favorite wrestler. He's your favorite wrestler. And your favorite wrestler loves Kim Jong-un. All right,
so who wins this match?
No, Roderick Strong. I've already said that. Yeah.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the NXT Tag Team Championship, Imperium, your champions, Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel, who I adore, taking on Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner in what is probably Kyle O'Reilly's last match with the company. Chris, you're up.
I think Imperium wins. And at the end of this, Von Wagner turns on Kyle.
Wow. Okay. So you got, I don't see him turning, but, I think Imperium get the win and they pin Kyle and Von Wagner's kind of left and they probably take out Kyle O'Reilly after the match. And Von, to get the babyface push, is going to avenge his friend. That's what I'm thinking here. But yes, I agree. I think Imperium continue.
He make more sense as a heel, though? Not just in look, but also in terms of the layout of this roster. If Breaker's not taking the title anytime soon, then Ciampa really should be in a program with Von Wagner next. And they've already put him in. They needlessly put him into that four-way like Mixmaster match or whatever a while back ago for the title. It just seems like that's their plan for the guy, and that's where they're going.
Yeah, but, you know, they want the big star, and he's tall. So logic.
Big stars can be heels. Yeah, big stars can be heels.
Hair versus hair. What the hell are we doing? Cameron Grimes versus Duke Hudson. It's my turn, isn't it?
This should be an Aces Wild match.
And what would that do?
You would...
You don't have anything for that. You just want to make up a stupid match and put it out there as, oh, I caught you on a lie.
Have you ever seen the old 70s TV show Joker's Wild?
Yes, I have. And you're not going to get any Jack Barry reference past me.
It would be begin with a round of Joker's Wild.
That's the shake them ropes version of the Norm Macdonald joke. Have you ever just told a lie and just a lie? It's like, I gained nothing from this. That was you here. That was you. This should be an Aces Wild match. What does that mean?
Stipulations are fun. It doesn't matter what it means.
You
announce that it's an Aces Wild match, then you have the match.
All right. Who's getting their head shaved here, Chris? Because I'm fairly certain it's going to be Cameron Grimes after getting the trim. I don't know why. I think they just want to humiliate him and shave off, you know, all the hair growth. He looks like a weirdo. We need to, you know, that kind of thing as opposed to Duke Hudson. Duke Hudson might be for the humiliation factor, and I think he probably deserves to get his head shaved. Don't get me wrong in this feud. But I think
you know what? I think it's red herring. No one gets their head shaved.
Yeah, I was trying to think of this because it's like, it's not like Cameron Grimes is the old guy necessarily in this feud. He's still very, very young. So I was thinking, you know what? No, I'm going to say Duke Hudson gets his head shaved. I do.
I'm going to say Duke Hudson loses the match. I'm going to say that no one gets their head
shaved. Oh, you know what they could do? It's like, well, that doesn't mean my hair is up there. And they bring out, who is it? Harlem Bravado. What's the name of that dude? He's
Andre Chase.
Andre Chase gets his head shaved. That's who I'm picking to get. Yes, it's a hair versus hair match, but it's like, oh, you see, I'm crafty about, you know, the deal, and you didn't read the fine print. I put up Andre Chase's hair or whatever. I think Andre Chase gets his head shaved.
Andre Chase is sneakily getting over with that NXT crowd.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. It's
a
very ironic crowd, so they love this kind of old school gimmick. And look, he's good in it.
He's a more full character,
yes,
than a lot of these other characters.
These guys, he should be on Team 2.0 instead of Grayson Waller, in my opinion. I think he's a better
Grayson
character.
Waller stinks. All Grayson Waller says is it's about engagement bros.
Yes, he's a guy to troll wrestling fans like me who hate social media posts. That's who
and like, that's not even the part that annoys me. What annoys me is that he's not any more thought out than that.
And then, in what is my one main event of this show, and I cannot wait for this. In some ways, in other ways, I'm dreading it. Like the women's War Games match: Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, Cora Jade, and Kaylee Ray. One of these things is not like the other. Versus Dakota Kai and Toxic Attraction. Three of these things are not like the other. Mandy Rose, Gigi Dolin, and JC Jane. Chris, I will allow your analysis first before I give what I think is going to be the biggest shot call of the week by anybody. Go.
I think that the babyface team wins here.
Babyface team has the advantage, by the way.
I think they win.
That was a great ladder match between Dakota Kai and Kaylee Ray, which is no shock because they're two of my favorites to watch. I really enjoyed that. Babyface is getting an advantage in a War Games match makes absolutely no sense at all. It's got to be one of two stories. The story they could tell is that somehow the babyfaces lose the advantage because Cora Jade gets taken out of this match, which I could definitely see. I'm going to go another way, though, based on what I saw on the television. And here's my strong call, so to speak. I think there's a double turn during the course of this match. I think Kaylee Ray, they were setting her up originally to fight Raquel. I think she turns on Raquel. And I think Toxic Attraction, before that, turn on Dakota Kai because she lost the advantage at some point. Because you could see they were kind of setting that up, the mumbling and grumbling backstage after that happened. So I think the roles get reversed here somehow. I do think the babyfaces win because I think some member of Toxic Attraction taps out here.
You know what? I think they leave Dakota Kai to her own devices. Dakota Kai eats the fall.
Oh, you do? Okay. That could be, yeah. They leave a War Games match. Oh, that would be no, Chris, I am with you on that. I'm now realizing, maybe they don't even show up. Maybe it's just Dakota Kai in there against the other four. Just something stupid. The stupidest thing I can think of is that three people quit on their teammate and leave the War Games match.
Or decide, honestly, to the same point, equally as stupid, the three people decide to get revenge on the weak link during the War Games match.
During the War Games match.
And they totally might do that. That's why I'm
Beat on Dakota, they throw her to Raquel, who gets the pin.
Again, in a situation where War Games had any stakes whatsoever attached to the outcome of it, this would be unbelievably stupid, Jeff. But in a situation where it actually means nothing, you might as well just go ahead and beat him up while you're in the cage. Why the hell not?
And then Canny, let's see how it plays out.
My boy Canny is getting quoted more and more.
Oh yeah,
and not getting any of the love. And I'm just gonna say
residuals either.
No love for Canny, but they invoke him all the time. They quote him like a prophet.
Yeah. So that is our War Games preview. I don't know if I'll be watching this one live. I really don't. It's like now I can wait. Now I can wait, and I have that luxury.
What's the can't miss factor on this show?
There is none.
Right. I know it's a trick question, but there's
War Games used to be can't miss for me. Now I'm just like, whatever.
Right. No, it'll be a fine match when I watch it on Monday while I'm working. Yeah. And it'll be fine because I'm not like super, it's not going to be hot for every second of every minute of the match because the feuds are not super hot. There's not a lot of stories to call back to or beats to call back to. I don't expect them to overwrite this and give me something really narratively satisfying here. It's going to be okay. It'll be an okay show.
Yes.
But it's a shame because we're talking about NXT here, which 8 years ago, 6 years ago, was putting out on a regular basis some of the best wrestling in the year.
Yes.
And would be putting out match of the year contenders and stuff. And I think the one thing that you can feel fairly safe on predicting going into this show is that there's not going to be a match of the year contender coming out of this show. And that really stinks. And that says something, unfortunately, about the broader state of wrestling, that NXT no longer generates match of the year contenders. You might go, but they're a match of the year contender somewhere else. Okay, fine. But they used to be on NXT, and it's unfortunate and sad and bad that they're not there anymore.
Done a lot of lazy rivering already, but it is time officially for the lazy river of wrestling criticism. Anything that crosses our minds in wrestling from the past week, whatever we want to go into. I'm going to start this because I have a question for you, Chris, and this is another hot button topic in the Twitterverse this week. The promos on Raw, which alluded to the cuts by WWE. Liv Morgan had one saying that Becky's contract was a result. Was the only way that she got that is because her friends, aka Ruby Riott, were cut. And then, of course, Edge on The Miz talking about both Morrison and also them being mentioned on AEW. Oddly enough, I think Charlotte's promo kind of works its way in here too, because it's like the whole number two should never talk about number one, or number one should never talk about number two, which was my critique of both promos on Monday, I think made its way in here. Give you a little bit of background information that I'm privy to. Edge's idea was to bring up this stuff. It wasn't written for him. And I'm not talking out of school in that neither of these were pressured by the showrunner to do these promos. So they were ideas that came out of the creative process in some way. I didn't like them. I don't like the use of it, Chris. I think it's in poor taste. I think it's in some ways the company trying to make it an on-screen storyline that the talent is expensive. And I don't think that works necessarily for a global company that has so much money to it. I just think it's also in bad
taste. I almost think you're giving that too much credit. Well, I don't even know that I think they're thinking that deep on it.
I don't think they're thinking that deep on it, but I just think it's in bad taste to refer to former employees. The other thing I was saying is Pat McAfee calling the Shayna Baszler stomps on the elbow, the future endeavor stomps. I just think it's spiking the football a little bit of, hey, we have jobs here and you don't. Ha 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 ha. I found it in bad taste. I wasn't offended by it, but I found it in bad taste, definitely. Because nothing offends me anymore by how garish they can be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just a commentary on your own level of desensitization.
I've watched so much low grade, cheap heat wrestling that this kind of crap just doesn't faze me anymore.
But it's still of a piece with like kind of what we were talking about last week with McAfee, just how he's sort of this like loose cannon on the microphone. And like, I mean, look, the Future Endeavors Kicks line is, if it was planned, I guess kind of tasteless. If it's not planned, sort of an unconstructive thing to be bringing up on commentary in the first place. You don't actually need to be having your audience go, oh, yes, I remember that character. They've been written off of the show.
Yes.
Like that's not actually a good piece of a business. In terms of Liv Morgan talking about Becky, obviously everyone's hung up on the truthfulness of the contract or the cuts and all that stuff. I'm sitting here and watching this and thinking more just like from a practical level of, what does this do to get Liv Morgan over? And does she come off as sympathetic during the course of this? And I found her to be whiny and petulant. It's a lot of the fears that I have with Becky, where Becky is a great promo and everything, but oftentimes she chews up the other person she's in the scene with. And I felt like Liv Morgan going out there and sort of like kvetching at Becky didn't actually do a lot to get Liv Morgan over. And that was my bigger problem with the promo. It has less to do with like bringing up Ruby Riott and more to do with, are we getting Liv Morgan over here? Do people like Liv Morgan more at the end of every one of her dialogue interactions? And if the answer to that is, then why did you give her the stick? The whole point, it'd be the same if she was doing an enhancement match. And she went out and had an enhancement match. At the end of the enhancement match, you go, is Liv Morgan a good wrestler? And people are like, then the enhancement match wasn't any good.
Right.
And I feel like that's exactly what's happening here with these promos. I mean, that's my problem with Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch.
Yeah, and I think you're right on that one half. And then it's the other thing of booking for the internet. You know, it's you know, the general WWE audience probably isn't all that, you know, the casual fan, the family who brings their kids to the show, the audience that they're really quote unquote gearing towards, not the online fanatics who read every news site on the world. You know, the family of four, mom may not like going there. Dad's amused someone. The kids are really into it. Don't know about the cuts. They just know that they're not on TV anymore. That's all they know. And so bringing that up is just kind of like, you're expecting the audience to go along with it. And I think a lot of the audience, probably for WWE, went, well, what does that mean? You know, what, your friends aren't here anymore?
Yeah, with an increasingly casual audience, and you brought up the families and stuff. I'm also always thinking about like the corporate events that I used to.
Yeah.
I used to be in the sections where you'd have like people who are there on a business event thing, and they have no clue what's going on. So like, you talk about roster cuts, and it means nothing to Deb from accounting.
Everything that should go in this show should be on this show. That's the thing. Is like every story, every piece of dialogue, every promo that you want to be important should be on your television show. And if that's not a part of the television show, which it isn't, then don't put it on there.
And my problem with Edge versus Miz is that they might eventually settle in on some pretty good promos here along the way. I think that that's always a live possibility with Miz. But we all know the match is going to suck. And like it's not going to be good. The best thing we can hope for is that they shoot like a cinematic match or something like that.
We know the promos aren't going to be that good because we know that we're not going to take the reins off.
There's the off chance. Yes, but I'm with you. I don't think that that's going to happen.
Right. Okay. Your go.
I guess we'll just stick with the theme of the night here. And I want to talk about Adam Page on commentary this week, during the Danielson match.
Okay. Cause that was going to be part of my next one, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So Danielson versus Allen Five Angels. I don't want to belabor the Danielson component of this heel turn, other than like he has moments where I think he's pretty good as a heel, and then he has other moments where I just completely don't buy it. And it's like, and it happens in his promos too. He has like actually like the promo he did about John Silver tonight. He made this face at the end of it that was fantastic, just like a basically like a dumbass, but in a face. And then there are other lines in there that just don't ring true. But that's not really my concern here as I'm watching this program. It's that Adam Page comes off as like a weird and bad friend kind of on a consistent basis. And
ambivalent.
Ambivalent. And like this, what this Danielson thing should be doing right now for Page, because it's like, oh, what would you have him do, Chris? It should be tugging at his heartstrings to see all of his friends who he's finally come around to as like actually being his friends. And like what I add, Page, the character, should have some associative level of guilt for not realizing that this whole time he had these really good friends who really cared about him when no one else did and he didn't even believe in himself.
Are getting
and like,
stomped in the face.
They're getting
every
crushed.
Week.
These men who believed in him and loved him when he didn't love himself are getting annihilated by this dickhead, Bryan Danielson.
Chris, the match is going to be so good.
And the matches are good along the way, Chris. Don't you get it?
Yeah.
Yes. No, what I'm saying is that this is a wonderful opportunity for Paige to really have his heart in the blender right now.
Yeah.
And us feeling him hurting as he's watching his friends hurt. And, like, Paige comes down there. He's always a second too late. And that's not what's happening. Yeah. What is instead happening is Danielson comes out and is outclassing guys who he should outclass.
Yes.
And he outclasses them. And then he gets done outclassing them. And is he a little rough on them? Yeah. But they had the nerve to come in there and say that they're on the same level as him. And they're not. And they should know that. He knows that. Everyone knows that. They're in there trying to do a thing. And this whole thing's supposed to be sending a message to Paige. And Paige is trying to play it like Iceman. But Iceman's watching all of his friends die here in the ring every week.
Yes.
I can't wait for this match here in Garland in a couple few weeks, because my God, I hope it's the end of the storyline, because this is not doing Adam Page any favors. And I get that it might be more durable for like loyalists or whatever, but you know, at some point you're going to want this guy to have a much stronger connection than he's
currently
got.
Feel something, for the love of God, feel something about your friends who are getting their face stomped in by a guy who's trying to get under your last nerve. You know, show me that struggle. Show me something about that, because here's the other half of that. Number
he should
one,
be down there every week at the end of these. And he does this sometimes, but he should be screaming at Danielson, fight me right now. Main event right now. Main event on Rampage. Main event.
Yeah,
we're done. You're not going to use my friends to get to me anymore.
Yes.
I'm going to do this. I'm a man.
He should be yelling at them to stop playing with his prey and to pin them, as opposed to, you know, hey, you can pin them. You don't need to do this to them. You know, that kind of thing.
He should be begging the Dark Order guys to not go
stop,
and fight these
stop
fights.
Stop fighting them, because you're getting your ass beat. That should have been the message after Uno.
This needs to be breaking his
heart. Yes. Yes.
And there should be some interplay with the Dark Order guys going, no, we're going to do this. We're going to keep killing ourselves.
We're doing this for you.
And everyone, Uno's hurt, and Colt Cabana's always bad, and everyone's like, no, I do it again. And Paige has to realize that these guys aren't going to stop doing this for him until he goes out and does this himself.
Yes,
like, this has to be about Paige and not Danielson, people.
Yes.
This, you might be enjoying Danielson. That's fine. You should be enjoying Paige. You should be loving Paige. You should be dripping and feeling for his story. You should want to be there, man.
Preach.
You should want to be in the ring fighting Danielson and getting your head kicked in for Paige. Like, you want it to stop. You want this guy to finally get Danielson, and you don't. You are enjoying Danielson being a heel right now. And that's why this isn't a good story. It's not because Danielson's not doing a good job. It's because the guy he's working across the ring from isn't picking up the other end of the slack, narratively speaking. And the match, I know, but the match is going to be good, Chris. I know, but it's about the program, people.
Yes.
It's about the program.
Whew, you were worried about having no energy tonight. That's what I'm
like. Aren't you glad that I held you up and I was like, I got this Death Wish coffee on clearance. Let me get a cup of that in my system.
You're going to be up all night now.
Well, we're going to take that walk after.
This is the best of the Allen Angels matches for me, because this is, you know, he just killed him. And, you know,
did I mention this was another fantastic Bryan Danielson match? Because he has him all the damn time. That's not the problem.
No. Here's the point I'm getting at. Is where Kenny Omega doing Allen Angels matches was like, oh, I'm gonna try and lift him up to be my equal right now, even though he's not gonna beat me. But Bryan Danielson was having none of that. He was like, okay, you'll get your moves in here, but then I'm gonna beat the crap out of you. And it was fantastic, and I loved it. Here's my other problem with you brought up a lot of great issues. The thing that sets off Adam Page is such a dumb, anachronistic. It's coward S, the word. And that's what sets him off. It's like the Marx Brothers movie Duck Soup, where upstart is the word. Oh, you're an upstart, sir. I'm gonna call you an upstart. Oh, you have offended my honor, sir. You called me a coward. Oh, I'm gonna come down the ring, as opposed to his friends.
Yes,
it's
his pride and his masculinity that is being questioned. That finally, again, and this. I'll go further. This really cuts against the grain of the Adam Page iteration of Cowboy, which is this more enlightened 21st century, different masculine version of what being a cowboy is, putting horns on your Tesla, right? Like that. So for
it's
Page,
a little Gary Cooper too. It's not good Gary Cooper. It's like, oh, the guys are coming in to kill you, but they also said you were a bad father. What? I can't believe that.
Right. So now, like, Page is what finally Bates Page is not, you know, the more modern virtues of being like a good feeling friend to your other, you know, fellow friends.
It's what they call him a coward.
Oh, you said I have no balls? My balls are huge. I have huge balls. I'm going to kick your ass. Like,
yeah, it's like, wait, him kicking your friends' heads in isn't enough, but he calls you a coward. Oh, now
which
I'm
one?
Going down
which
the ring.
One is more sympathetic? You're going to stop beating up my friends, buddy, and if you're going to hit them, you're going to hit me first. Or I have huge balls. How dare you?
Yeah, I just, oh my God. We're on a negative kick tonight. I don't get it. Well, we're being nitpicky, and that's cool too. The other half of this, which was in my point on the Lazy River, because I just had 2 points. I just had the promos, and then I had this one. John Silver, God bless him. Has he ever been angry in his life? Because there was a time to be angry, and that was Wednesday night when he went walking down like one of the bushwhackers. Because of his arms, I'll get him, Hangman. You know, it was like almost like an eager kid as opposed to somebody angry about it. I'm from Long Island.
Annihilating his friends. I mean, like, this is the other thing is John Silver should have came down and said, Hangman, you can't do anything. Dude, I'm done. Like, I'm going down there. And I thought the same thing with the follow-up promo on Rampage tonight. Oh, well, Bryan Danielson can do some submissions, but I'm actually pretty handy at submissions too. And I'm like, dude, bro, like,
this is the wrong energy.
2 months ago when Danielson gets into the company and he's a baby face,
looking
forward to locking horns with old D-Bry. Now, like he just knocked out your friends too.
Hey, just kick to your friends. Wow, this will be a fun hootenanny.
This is going to be a real test of my abilities up to now. Like, yes. No, dude.
You should want
to
kill that guy. What's your problem?
And this is going to be a fight. This is not going to be a test.
Yeah, we just need to think about these things and get some acting going on in these TV shows. And we're not getting heat. We're getting people who are happy to be there. Stop this.
This could just be a much more compelling story with like minor tweak. Like, I'm not saying remove Danielson and put in Miro. Ship has sailed.
No.
We discussed that. That ship has sailed. I'm just saying, like, if this is the world we're working in now, dude, like, do a better job with Paige for Paige fans.
Yes. This is your new champ. This is the face of your company now. And he's coming off like a, he's an emo cowboy. Well, I don't want that as my champion. Get the belt off of him then. Let him do the story without the belt.
I initially liked the guy of this is not a loner baby face. This is a baby face with friends who cares about, like, everything they had.
That was fine.
Everything they had on the he won the title celebration moment What a great backdrop for all of this.
But you know, he got mad when his friends were had their head kicked in. Dusty Rhodes, who was another cowboy with friends. Yeah, just go get mad, you son of a bitch. That's all I want.
And care about other people. Yeah.
You care
that's
about
what
your
want.
Friends? No, I'm watching them get their head kicked. Oh, I guess I better go down there. He called me a coward.
How dare anyone? All right. We'll go next to real quickly, you're not going to trick me into liking Billy Gunn or the Gun Club. You're not going to trick me into caring about Billy Gunn and the Gun Club. You're not going to trick. I'm not going to take the bait. So you can quit trying.
Billy Gunn needs to be a manager for his sons and say, I'm going to send and be that overbearing parent who sends his kids out there to get their butts kicked every week. I'm fine with that. Billy Gunn is a week-to-week wrestler. I don't want any more at the age of 55 or whatever he is. He looks great. Better living through chemistry. Good for him. But that said, whichever kid it is, Colton or Austin, that's taking these hits from Darby, that dude better be getting an extra grand or something a week because he is taking some kill. Darby's killing these guys when he's running into them.
I'm going to hold the fire on the Darby Allin comments for another time. That's probably where maybe it's more at point, but like, look, when we talk about the four pillars or whatever, and I think we need to have a discussion of how complete are the columns on these pillars at some point.
Yeah.
Like how structurally sound are each one of these beams? I'll leave it at that. On Darby, great character.
I got another point for AEW, but I'll let you go first, and then I'll go and I'll wrap up my stuff with that point.
Okay. Wait. You said I'm going now, or
yeah?
You're
go
going?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm trying to think. Like, was there anything that I liked on SmackDown tonight? Not really.
Tony hit Charlotte with a pie.
Yeah, right. You know, Kaylee Ray was the Kaylee Ray Dakota Kai match was good.
I'll go then if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
MJF CM Punk promo. Liked it. Didn't love it. Did not love it. And I'll tell you why. There are just some things in there. Again, I want the character to be talking to the character, not the person talking to the person necessarily. I did not get the entire CM Punk is trying to get into Britt Baker's pants deal, or if there's any salty in there or whatever.
It's one of these things that I think is on like maybe some of their like online products or stuff that like you don't see on the main show. And it was super inside baseball and like weird. And also like, MJF is
mentioning his dog and things like that. It's like, I don't care about any of that stuff, really.
I also, it's like the more they talk, the less hot this feud gets, too.
A little.
Like they're talking too much. And I get sort of trying to justify some of the in-ring Punk stuff with, well, look at how much he's struggling against QT Marshall or Lee Moriarty. Okay, I guess. Is this really the best way to be using CM Punk at this stage of his career?
Well, I'm not minding that story per se, because I like that the old guy's struggling. I just don't want to hear people say he needs to be in the world title program, because that's not his gig right now. He's in there putting over the old guys. And I loved, let's put it this way. Here's something good. I liked MJF on commentary the whole time. He was killing it, and which he should have been doing. Like CM stands for Cook's Meth. That was a great line. He is just being an
PG
asshole.
PG Punk is played out, though.
PG Punk is played out. Yeah.
No, guy. I'm saying I'm saying like him saying PG Punk.
That's a little played out. That's a little
jumped the shark.
Out.
He hit that button too many times.
Punky, any reference to that? Punky Brewster. That's played out a bit. The Larry David's pajamas line from CM Punk.
That was funny.
It died though. It wasn't a very good line. I didn't think.
That's funny. See, I thought it was funny just because it was like a good comment on the
Hanukkah suit.
On the Hanukkah suit. Yeah, yeah.
Which was great.
Obviously, it was classic heel work. Like that's just like solid, loud, obnoxious holiday themed outfit. Great, that's classic.
I wanted
heel
him to
stuff.
Go a step further and say I'd come down there and fight you, but it's against my religion.
Right? Yeah, no. I would love him to like cite like Sabbath or Shabbat. Yeah. Despite clearly being on like a television program and violating all these other. They're just not I'm into this feud, but I didn't think this week was a very strong outing, and I felt like that this week's Dynamite was just not a very strong Dynamite. Like every single segment had something kind of like something to like about it, I suppose, but then also something that you could like meaningfully go like, that did nothing for me.
Yeah.
Or I thought that was weird, or like that left me kind of feeling like weird.
I'd agree.
We talked about Danielson and Allen Five Angels and what left us feeling about that. We just talked about Punk and Moriarty and what made us feel about that. Wardlow squashing a guy. Okay, that's fine. Darby Allin and Sting versus the Gun Club. As I said, you're never going to trick me into liking the Gun Club. Ruby Soho defeating Chris Statlander, just not a match that had a lot of intrigue for me.
Other thing was, I mean, I do a Dynamite show over at Fight Game, so I have a lot of thoughts on every match anyways. I don't want to get too far because we've already gone a little bit long here, but Ruby Riott this entire time was saying, screw you, I want to win, I'm going to kick your ass. And she comes out to doing arm drags and stuff with with Chris Statlander. I'm like, the promos didn't match the match. And you got to start thinking about that as quality control. And that's kind of
to your point, going back to the quality control here, especially with what you want to do at the end of the match angle. I did have a big problem with this because Soho's like, basically, I'm trying to win this tournament. I'm willing to work heel, which is sort of the crux of her promo.
Yes.
That's the substance of it. So she should have had this match against Statlander, where she basically works a little dastardly on Statlander.
Yes.
At the end of the match, Statlander's like, okay, screw you, Ruby. See you, bye. I'm not going to hang around or help you out. I'm going to walk. Like, I'm pissed off. I'm not really a big Ruby Soho fan right now. And then Ruby gets attacked by Nyla Rose and doesn't have any help because Ruby made this trade-off to win the match. She was going to work Ruthless against Chris Statlander, mm-hmm. and there's consequences for having done that.
Yes.
It's a much more narratively satisfying story than Vicky coming out going, excuse me! Or whatever she says.
Yeah.
And then Nyla Rose shows up. And like, might I also add, the beatdown on Ruby Soho, if that's going to be a nagging injury, needed to be a lot better.
Yes.
I pulled you off the top ropes. How am I going to make it to this next match?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. And then I guess, you know, the main event here was the best part of the show, but it's Andrade versus Cody Rhodes, which again is not without its problems.
Yes.
As we talked about this last week. Look, I feel like people who are fine with Cody Rhodes' presentation and this booking against the grain thing, the audience wants to boo this guy. They literally are holding up signs that say turn Cody turn. So like don't tell me that this isn't
Here's a question. Was the brandy spot meant to elicit boos or cheers?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I I don't know that they know. I'm going to go further. I'm going to say the brandy spot was a test balloon, and they wanted to see what would happen if Brandy showed up for that finish. Cause like, I don't know how you pencil that down with a concrete understanding of what would happen when you do that. If you go, well, we'll get booed. I go, are you sure about that? And you go, we're going to get cheered. I go, are you sure about that? So to me, the only answer is they did that to see what would happen. They knew it'd be a cool finish regardless, but they were actually legitimately intrigued to see how this fan base, given the way they've been booking Cody Rhodes, was going to process that finish. And I don't know that they got really a useful piece of data off of it other than people like burning tables.
And then here's the other weird thing about this whole thing was that this was set up by, number one, a hammerlock DDT on concrete after cameras went off the air. There was no promo to build this up. So to me, number one, he shouldn't have been back, but they didn't really play up the injury. Did this match warrant a flaming table for this feud? No, because that would be a Malakai Black spot, not an Andrade spot. And also just the weirdness of, well, Cody wants to go through a burning table, but he's wearing the gel or whatever on his back. But then he wants to get the pin on Andrade after the spot. And that just makes no sense either. He took the brunt because Andrade wanted nothing to do with that flaming table. You could see that in the way that they did the spot, but he goes through the flaming table and then gets the pin. Just take the pin. That's all. But instead they're doing this baby face thing in Atlanta in his hometown type of thing. Yeah. There need to be a few more questions asked about this match before they went out there and did it.
Yeah. It was really sort of an undeserved, a level of spot work for like this show. I guess the best like defense, or like what would Rhodes' defense is, well, I want to send the Atlanta crowd home happy. Want to give them a big, big spot to close down the show. Okay, but like, what does Adam Page do? Cody Rhodes is out there putting people through burning tables. What does Adam Page, the world champion, do? You insulted my balls, sir. I'm gonna come down there now that you kick my friend's head in. Like, who's getting the better, you know, better shine here? And that's like, I guess my issue is, you know, beyond the other issues with Cody Rhodes that we've discussed, and I do want to kind of revisit the idea that people who think that it's fine that we're in this weird situation with Cody Rhodes, or to a lesser extent Britt Baker. Mm-hmm. The defense we used to hear from WWE stands and from WWE, the company, especially around John Cena, is we don't care if you're cheering John Cena, which is to say going along with the John Cena line storyline that we're trying to tell you and being authentic to the story that we're doing and participating in it, or booing, which is to say trying to actively undermine the storyline we're trying to tell you. We just care that you're there and you're loud. And I feel like a lot of times with Cody Rhodes, and again, to a lesser extent with Britt Baker, I'm hearing sort of, well, it doesn't matter if Cody Rhodes is fundamentally miscast as a babyface because the entire audience doesn't want him in this role. All that matters is that people are really loudly reacting to the show. And I mean,
No, you want people to cheer and boo and get invested and have a rooting interest in it and things like not just oh, they reacted to stuff. Hooray. You know, you want people
laughing at your jokes, not booing you because they hate you. Like if you're a comedian, if you're up there and you're going, well, they didn't laugh at any of my jokes, but they like did tell me go and die in a tire fire. They wouldn't stop.
The opposite side of the coin. They clapped whenever I said something that they all agreed with. Like, hey, don't you all hate Trump? Yay.
Laugh. Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, like the clap is you're actually getting the reaction you're trying to elicit. In this case, you're just trying to elicit the wrong reaction.
You're trying to elicit the wrong reaction. You're supposed to get laughs as a comedian. That's the point.
I'm saying in the first example, the person's trying to go out there and get laughs, right, and they're getting booed. Continue. They're getting booed viciously. Like, that's all I'm saying. It's like, so it does matter what reaction you get. If you're and to your point, Jeff, if you're going out there trying to get laughs and you get claps instead, you've actually failed.
And
that I definitely agree with you on. Like it does matter that you say I am going out there to perform X, impress people. If it's a magic trick. Entertain, you know, whatever it is.
I'm here to get you invested in this feud somehow.
Right. And if you go out there, do a magic trick, and instead of doing a feat of prestidigitation, you instead result in an embarrassing act that results in your pants falling off and upset children running out of the building. Yeah, you got a reaction, pal. And it was a strong one.
Yes.
But you fundamentally failed at the project. Yes. And that's Cody Rhodes. He's not doing feats of prestidigitation. He's instead a man having wardrobe malfunctions.
Look up prestidigitation if you don't know the word, kids. Yeah, and I didn't watch NXT UK. So we'll close the lazy river there. You can follow me at Crap Game 13. You can follow Chris at DWATG. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes, all one word. We are part of Voices of Wrestling, youtube.com/Voices of Wrestling. Go listen to all our podcasts. We'd like to thank our sponsor, MyBookie, mybookie.ag. Use code ROPES. Get up to $1,000. There are some big games this weekend and some juicy bets. Also juicy, Patreon. Patreon.com/don't worry, or is DWATG?
Patreon.com/DWATG.
Thank you. Do your plug.
Yes. Patreon.com/DWATG. We just did the last round of listener call-ins, the listener call-in show. Probably, like, honestly, at this point, I think next time we're going to expand it out to a full week. So we will have, like, you know, like 3 days of call-ins next time around. But if you want to check out that call-in show, probably going to do a commentary here. One of my favorite themes, a pox in all your houses, probably around the Supreme Court. Look for that sometime over the weekend over at patreon.com/DWATG on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify.
We will see you next week where Chris doesn't have coffee and a lot of piss and vinegar go with it.
Oh, but you like it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.